brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Small Business. No, Mrs. Key did not have her voice deepened by two octaves over the last week. This is Vic Bolton, the victorious one, and I'm here to guest host once again for Ms. Key, who is tied up with other business today. So welcome to the finest small business radio show on the air today. We're coming to you live from the studios of Business Radio X in Midtown Atlanta. And our show today focuses on a topic that is of great importance to all of us, and that is the IT world and specifically cybersecurity. All of you small business owners know how important your information is and how much your data matters to the success of your company. And of course, personally, everybody knows how much harm can be done when you are hacked or when there's an identity theft situation in your life or someone, you know, pilots your credit card or whatever. So we're here to talk about all aspects of cybersecurity. We've got a phenomenal guest with us today. We've got the CEO of Weems Design Studio, Inc., Mr. Charles Weems III. So that means there were two others before you, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and you all still like each other? And,
yes,
yeah, okay, good deal.
Today.
All right, the Weemses are in good shape. And we're really excited about this topic, so we're going to get right into it. But I want to make sure and remind you that Let's Talk Small Business is the show where we bring you expertise and best practices and all kinds of things to do excellence in your business. The goal is to give you the tools that you need to succeed, to compete, to win, and to always be effective as a small business owner. So every week, tune in at 11:30 on Tuesdays at Business Radio X so that you can hear some things that will help you to grow your business, help you to keep it in business, help you to subscribe and to participate in those things that will be a benefit to you and just generally help you do better business. So let's get right into it, Mr. Weems. Tell us a little bit about you and your company and a bit of your background.
Okay. I've been in business for almost 10 years now. WDS is a full service IT firm. We specialize in three specific areas of IT. Programmer project management, that's kind of the executive level, defining projects, helping manage projects. A strong core that we have is a software engineering. I'm a Java engineer by trade. That's where I started in the industry. And so we're able to develop web-based applications as well as mobile technology. And a third area, infrastructure support. So which is much what we'll talk about today, cybersecurity, hosting applications, managing servers, dealing with firewalls, all of that good stuff.
Well, our audience includes a lot of folks who need all three of those. So we're going to spend just a minute on each one. So talk to us a bit about the whole programming and project management aspect. What kinds of things do you take on for your clients?
So it generally starts from the ideation of a project, or if let's say you already have a project that's running smoothly, but the management or ideas of new technology, you may need help with that. So we can come in, look at what you have as a project, be it a new project or a current one, look at how we can make your processes better, how can we use new technology, how can we be cost effective with that. We actually do that currently at the executive level for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, where we actually help define the policies and mandates that they pass down to their whole IT investment that they have for the whole agency.
And you used a key word just then that I want to mention for a second, which is investment. Mm-hmm. Small businesses run on this thing called return on investment. Mm-hmm. What does this amount of money invested or spent in a certain area do for me, the business, my clients, whatever? Almost without fail, technology makes us more efficient. It makes things less costly, and in many cases, it enables us to do more with less. Talk a bit about the return on investment side of what you do.
Okay, so from a technology standpoint, we help streamline business processes. So the ROI generally is not always seen as where I save $500 today. It's seen generally in the process. If it takes, let's just say you had a process of shipping waste containers from your site to the client site, and you, all of that is paper. It takes, you know, 3 days or so to get through the whole process. Well, if we implement a technology solution, we can get it down to 1 day, which in turn shortens the time of delivery for you to the customer. You're able to pick up more customers, and you're able to generate more money.
And it actually has real-time savings
exactly.
in regards to the hour dollars per hour that we spend exactly. on those 3 days
exactly.
where we could repurpose those resources doing
to
other
do
things.
Else.
So share a bit about the software engineering piece. Now, I know that includes the thing that fascinates all of us, which is app development. Everybody wants to have an app for their company, their new book, their ministry, their small business. Share a bit about that space and some interesting app maybe that you developed.
Oh, great. So this is where I am very passionate with the software engineering aspect of our firm. We have engineers on site that help with creating applications from the ideation. So if someone comes and say, well, I have an idea for an app to do, whatever, like you said, for ministry or if I want to sell, or like Uber, something like that. We come, we sit, we discuss it, we get ideas, we generate it for you. We generate a prototype or MVP, a minimal viable product, and then we go to production. So we can do that, from a web standpoint, also to tablets, to phones, to gaming machines like Xbox 360 or Nintendo Wii. I know that's old. And also to televisions as well. So.
And this process has really accelerated in terms of the lead time it requires being compressed nowadays. How long does it take from phone call to Weems Design saying, hey, I want an app, to it's live and ready to go?
Generally between 3 to 6 months is really the complexity of the application that you want to have. We sit down with the client and we walk them through generating requirements and saying, okay, this is what you really want. Yeah, you may not want that, kind of thing. So it's all about customer service for us.
Well, us old guys can remember when it took more than a year to develop an app.
So. Oh, absolutely.
It won't be long before you're getting them done in a month or two.
Right.
That's the way technology drives us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's move to the infrastructure side for a bit, because that's the core of our topic today. Everybody has information that they need to secure. I've got a file cabinet at home full of all our precious documents, all of the birth certificates and passports and house documents and old bank stuff from back when you had to keep bank statements and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And woe be unto the person that loses that stuff or that has it stolen. Mm-hmm. I forget the number, but a really large number of percentage of Americans have had their identity stolen on some level.
Oh, absolutely.
A card cloned or a phone stolen or whatever. Share a little bit about that side of the business.
So the infrastructure is probably the heart of what we do that keeps a WDS in business. Being that we have government clients, we do deal with data sensitive data, I should say. And so it's very important that for us, we make sure that we take the precautions and any headway that we can from a security standpoint to make sure that we don't have a breach and, we don't have, hackers, pinging our servers or doing a DOS attack, a denial of service attack. So it's very expensive due to the types of clients that we deal with. And it's very important as well, which is why that cost is definitely something that we must have, especially from an IT standpoint. So, making sure our servers are secure. We're actually in one of the best data centers in the country. We do have co-location. So if a nuclear bomb came and hit it, we have another location. Hopefully they don't hit both at the same time. And so that's very important. I mean, it's to the point to get to the floor to the service, we have to have an eye scan and a fingerprint scan. So it's something that you see like on 007.
A spy movie, yeah.
Exactly. So it's very important, especially from an IT standpoint. But, most businesses are starting to have an information technology arm due to the resources and access to information technology for businesses. And so there are strategies that you can do so that it's not as expensive, but you can still get kind of the same effectiveness.
Well, break this down a little bit for us, because I don't think many folks understand the number of integrated and interconnected piece parts that emanate from your home or your business out to the rest of the world. You just plug into an Ethernet jack or you log into a Wi-Fi and you're on this thing called the Internet. Mm-hmm. Share a little bit more detail about the points of failure along the way. It's a bit more than just setting a password on your computer.
Oh, absolutely. So the biggest problem that most people have and probably don't realize it is their home Wi-Fi. right? And so generally what people will do, let's say you go with Comcast or DirecTV or anything like that, you'll go get a router from, you know, whatever your best, your favorite hardware store is, and you implement it at your house. Well, having that Wi-Fi open to the world is, you've seen the breaches that happen at Target and different things like that. And that's generally how people get in, is open networks, you know, that way. Most people, believe it or not, do not change the default passwords on those. And so that's the first thing that hackers do. They generally, when a Wi-Fi list pops up on your screen when you log into your computer, you'll see something that say Netgear 5756, Linksys 6. So that tells them what manufacturer it is. What they'll do is go to the internet and they'll say, well, what's the default username and password?
9999.
Exactly. And so generally they'll put that in, and lo and behold, they're access to your network. Now they can pose as you and do whatever they want to do. Wow. And so, I mean, that's one aspect. Another aspect is the public IPs that are out, you know, throughout the city. You have to be very careful with those, because some people send out Wi-Fi signals that are public, but they're disguised so that when you connect to them, now they're intercepting your transaction. So think of the internet as a two-way communication. I talk to you, you receive that information, you process it, and you give me back information. So what they do is, from an internet standpoint, when my computer talks, they intercept that, and they can strip out data, or they can add data, or whatever the case may be. So let's just say you're accessing your bank account over the web. Now they have your username and password. Once they get that URL, now they can go to it at any of their leisure time, you know, and do what they want to do. So it's very easy, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of those types of, you know, ways that people can hack into their systems. So.
Absolutely. I have never yet been victimized by identity theft. I've had some other things go on with errors in the back office at the bank, if you will, with accounts and things, but I've never experienced that yet, but almost everybody I know has.
I have.
You have?
Yes.
What happened with you?
So to this day, I don't know how my credit card information got out, which is one reason why I don't have a debit card today. I have an ATM card. Mm-hmm. For me, I went to use my debit card one day, and I was going to a business trip, and I was buying some stuff, and I got to the register, and they was like, no, insufficient funds. I'm like, no, I got, money in. I went to my account. My account was wiped out.
Wow.
It was wiped out. And I went through the bank. I went through all the protocol. Didn't get all of the money recovered. But for me, it's diminishing those accesses to connect to my account, you know, was very important from then forward. So now I have a specific credit card for, you know, business, for personal. I don't have a debit card. I use an ATM card. So they really can't do anything unless they get my PIN. Mm-hmm. But it's much harder to hack. So
talk a bit about some of the sophistication of the malware that's out there nowadays. When you interface with certain sites, or mm-hmm. when you receive emails from stray people and that kind of thing, and you download or look at something you think is harmless and you don't know what dropped something onto your machine.
Right. So the best thing that you can look out for is, if you don't know the person that sent it, don't open it. Immediately just trash it. There's still a lot of phishing, is what we call it, going on out today. And it generally happens when people open emails and click on links and, you know, that kind of thing. If it's an email that's sent from a person that you know, but it's like selling Solaris or, you know, Viagra, or don't open it, you know, kind of thing. It's as simple as doing that. There are also some sites that you just can't, you know, visit. A lot of times, you know, people, for whatever reason, like to get stuff for free. I understand, you know, downloading music and all of those things. But a lot of time when you download those packages, they have extra information tied to them. It could be a virus, could be malware. It could be a program that'll get executed once you click, you know, open or unzip it or something like that. And so it's just being very, very cautious. One thing that I do is I have a specific computer, and I only use a specific browser when I'm doing banking transactions. I have a specific browser when I want to go do Facebook or Twitter or something like that. So it's isolated. So if I get hacked, they have my Facebook account, but they don't have my banking account. I'm very specific on the sites that I visit where I log into my bank account. I generally don't do it from my phone, you know, either, because that's a Bluetooth is wide open, and that's That's a whole nother hacking ability. So taking little precautions like that, not saying that it's impossible, but it diminishes your.
What kind of risks are we taking when we put, you know, an Apple Pay kind of a thing in place on our phones? I know it's got the fingerprint scan kind of thing to actuate an actual transaction, but are we amping up the risk when we use, doesn't Android have a similar transactional
piece? So they're trying to do the same thing with biometrics, okay. Right? So that's where, for example, with Apple 6, where they log into the phone, it takes a fingerprint now, mm-hmm. right? And the Apple Pay is with American Express, I believe, or they're rolling that out. So, yeah, that's a whole nother, you know, can of worms. Now that I think about it, Google has something called Google Wallet, which mm-hmm. is a similar thing where it ties to your banking account. So it's one of the things of, you know, it's secure, but it's not secure. If somebody gets your phone and let's just say they tie in and type in your password, now they have all your information, you know, kind of thing. That's for me, even with the security systems that are like ADT and all of these different things where you can now access stuff from your phone. And I'm like, nah, they have a company that does garage door openers that you can open and close it from your phone. Like you can be away from it. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that either. But yeah. It's opening a whole nother realm of hacking. All people have to do now is just hack your phone and they have everything.
Or you can sit on your phone just right in your car and let your garage door up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in. We got all kinds of stuff in the freezer. Oh, my. That's a whole other thought.
Yeah.
Do you recommend that folks not use those kinds of applications, or what are your thoughts there?
I think it should be isolated, you know, much like what I talked about, you know, having one point of failure for, you know, bank account information. Just have it isolated. Like I do use security systems. I choose not to have, you know, access from my phone. You know, I do enjoy it from my house where I can see, you know, around, but just have it isolated. So the point of failure is, you know, is very structured. So if it's like you're in a battle and you have multiple lines of defenses, right? And mm-hmm. so the super secure stuff, you got to go through. If you get through five walls of, yeah, you probably should get it. Yeah, you've gone through all of that. But I think having those things in place, they deter hackers, because if they can't get it after, you know, so many tries of a program running for 2 days, generally they leave it alone and go somewhere else.
Well, you know, hackers prey on one of the fundamental core traits of Americans, which is laziness.
Yes.
And this obsession with convenience.
Yes.
I want to do it in 3 seconds, not six, or I want to do it in 15 and not a minute. And sometimes those inconveniences are there to protect us. And a lot of the time you'll find that, for example, on your computer, you can have your computer save the password for everywhere you go.
Bad.
And then if you ever lose that computer, all they got to do is bring up Facebook or bring up Wells Fargo or whatever, and they're in because it populates it.
It populates it, yeah.
And there we go.
Yeah, so the, you know, and that's dealing with cookies and all of the, you know, saved information that you have, even the URLs that you go to. Firefox, which is a popular internet browser, they're for Firefox, Internet Explorer, which they're getting rid of. Chrome, which is by Google, and then mm-hmm. Safari, which is
Apple.
And so all of them have their ups and downs. I tend to like Firefox a little more, and Chrome is pretty good as well. But they all have a feature called private browsing. And so a lot of times people think of that when you just want to look at bad stuff, right? But it can be very handy because what they're doing now is they – going through browsers, and when you go through sites, they actually track you. Now they actually track your data, and so by going turning on these functions, they don't have the ability to do that. And so just little precautions, you know, like that can go a long way as well. So
share a little bit about recommendations that you make. Much of our audience is, again, small business owners, certified MBEs at GMSDC and other small businesses around the country. Share a little bit about what you recommend to small businesses in terms of cost-effective security measures.
So let's start from a web standpoint, because most businesses have that now. And you can even go to a lot of retail stores or industry, businesses that are that have Wi-Fi accessible to everyone. And so, you know, one thing that, can be done with that is generally you probably want to work with a network administrator just to even set that up. There are options where you can have a Wi-Fi hidden, and the only way people can get to it is they have to know the exact name of that Wi-Fi and then get the password, you know, to it, so that somebody can't just plop down a laptop and say, oh, I see, well, the element. Okay, you know, let me figure out that. So that's one thing to do. The other thing is to make sure from an infrastructure that you have some kind of tiered once you're behind the router and all of that stuff, once you're into the core of the business, they have some kind of tier layer for important data. So much like that defense that we talked about in a battle, having, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 layers that someone will have to get through in order to get to sensitive data. And there are a lot of like my firm, we actually consult with small businesses to set up things like that. It's not expensive. It's not something that we do. It's a monthly cost or anything. It's one, we come set it up, we're out. Mostly networking firms that do that, they generally do it fairly quickly, and they're on call if you need them, so that it's not a burden to that small business.
With all of the emphasis on cybersecurity, mm-hmm. and hacking, mm-hmm. and identity theft now, the folks who like to write viruses haven't gone anywhere, have they?
No.
What kinds of things are you seeing there? What are they, are we erasing your phone? Are we stealing your data? What are we doing with viruses nowadays?
So basically, it's access to machine power, and it's access to data. So the black market is very real for data, where generally they steal your identity and they steal credit card information, because they use that to sell it to people that will use it to buy services and goods, and also machine power. I don't know if you remember, they had a big DDoS attack at Twitter, and what DDoS is basically they have all of these machines that get together and say, we're going to attack this one URL at the same time. And so when that happens, the resources, they run out. The computer's like, I can't deal with a million requests, you know, at the same time. And that's very real today.
And so, is that just for malice, just to bring it down and crash it?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily get anything from that. You just get to say, I crashed Twitter.
Exactly. And so it's more of a ego thing. Now, there are gray hackers that are good hackers. And what they do is they're actually hired to come in and look at holes or break your system and then tell you how to fill it, so that, you know, hackers like them won't do that. So it's like the Star Wars, you know, you have the Jedi side and you have the Darth mm-hmm. Sith side. So hackers are important as well, because they do find vulnerability and then they're able to fill them. But there are cost-effective ways that small businesses can engage with firms like mine or a networking firm to help with just smaller things like that, to prepare them so that they're not taken advantage of. So.
Well, it sounds like you're doing some really great things. Share a couple of tips, if you will. We've got a very engaged audience out there. Talk a little bit about where you see some of the opportunities in your space, in IT going forward. For those who are the next Charles Weems, you know, fresh out of college, where am I going to go now? Want to start my own? Talk about where you see some opportunities.
So I'll just do all IT. So I think that starting an IT firm, even today from when I started 9 years ago, it's much cheaper to do. You know, we talked about the whole office space and all of that stuff. Being in IT, you can work remotely. As long as you got an internet connection, you're good. You're up in business. You get a business license, all of that stuff. So starting an IT firm, if you have the expertise, is a lot easier. The thing that's really big is cloud services, and that's much what we're talking about as far as offshoring a lot of the resources and expertise to firms that's all they do all day for a small price. From a government standpoint, I have government clients. That's our biggest customer base right now. One thing that I definitely want to share with other IT firms is that take a look at something called a FedRAMP certification. And it's a certification that's authorized for the government says this cloud service is secure for hosting our data or infrastructure as a service. If you have the funds to go through that process, by all means do it. It's very expensive, but they have three entities that already have an ATO. That's approved by HHS to offer those services. So by partnering with them or getting a contract and working with them, that automatically gives you that expertise. So it's called FedRAMP, once again. The other area, of course, is the whole startup, application startups. There are millions of people, you know, out there that have ideas, some that have funding, some that don't, some that will take 6 months, some that will take 2 weeks. So those are always a good place to start. I mean, Facebook started as Face Smash, I believe, where you go and rate people how they look. Yeah. And he started with $1,000 and look where he is today. Twitter, Uber even started, it was a startup. They did a round of funding, I think, for a couple million dollars, and look where it is today. So those are always some fresh opportunities from an IT standpoint. That revenue may not be immediately there, but the opportunity can be huge, you know, if you help develop it. There was a partner for LinkedIn that only provided servers, you know, to them, and he's a multimillionaire, you know, with shares. They paid him in shares. So from IT, it's large. Data is a big thing. Data warehousing. We're getting into petabytes of data, you know, now. So it's, I mean, that's a huge opportunity within itself. So if you can help manage data, that's huge with the government, with them trying to integrate systems and restructure that data structure.
So what in the world is a petabyte? Is that gigabyte, terabyte, so,
yeah,
the next tier?
Yeah, that's it. So you have, of course, the bits. You got kilobyte, megabyte, gigabyte, terabyte, petabyte.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of ones and zeros. So what would you say is the most grievous security breach you've ever seen in your business? What's the horror story you can share about something you've worked on in your space?
So this was a personal experience, and it was, for me, it was bad, but it was really cool. So and in this example, I'll tell you the importance of password structure. So at a firm that I worked for prior to starting my business, we would send and receive files that we were put into a project. So we were building an application, and so one thing that we had for us to exchange large files, instead of doing email and stuff like that, we had an FTP server, or files transfer, transfer protocol. So we transfer large files. So somebody had the great idea of having a username. I think it was like FTP user or something like that. And the password was the same name, right?
Oops.
Right. And so a couple months went by, and we got a letter from another vendor, and they sent us a letter. Hey, check your systems. We're getting a lot of pings from your IP. You know, we don't even know who this is. And so our architect at the time, he got on the machine, and he saw high, you know, CPU volume hitting this one IP. And so it took him about a week to figure out, but the hacker, he wrote a program that pinged our FTP server and just tried words in the dictionary. That's generally what they do to break passwords. And so he got in and he wrote a program, and the name of the program was .././.. or something like that. So when we did a file structure, we couldn't see it. And so the only way that we could figure out that there was a program and what it was we figured out what we could look at the box and see what resources were running up the machine, and that helped us to identify it. And so it was bad, but it was really cool at the same time. So
one of the points of emphasis with GMSDC this year, they chose as their 2015 theme Realizing Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to small businesses about how to take that step into the next realm. The GMSDC turned 40 this year.
Yay.
So the focus is on, okay, for the next 40 years, where are we headed, and what are we going to be doing? So there's a lot of emphasis on technology and innovation, and also on partnering. Do you do business with other firms where you contract or subcontract one another? And if so, share a little bit about that.
So, and that's very important, and I'm glad that you brought that up. That's an emphasis that we've been doing at my firm for the past couple of years, especially with the government client that we have is getting saturated. And so it's no longer I go hunt by myself. I have to get a team. So we do partner. I think one of the things that I would like to emphasize too is mentoring. I had a really good mentor that basically walked me hand in hand through the whole process of doing business, because you got to remember I'm an engineer at the end of the day, so all of this stuff was new. And so having a mentor, if you can find someone that you can kind of ride their shirt tail and that'll be candid with you about the good and the bad, that's very important. Partnering is very important as well, because it allows you to get or lay a net, I would say, to catch more fish. I would much rather have, a piece of the pie, right, than have a whole nothing of a pie.
And I think you spoke to a really major part of mentoring that I think many folks don't get. Mentoring is not just let's go for ice cream.
Exactly.
It is also really frank feedback that says, son, this is dumb. Stop doing it.
Yes. Yes, I've had a lot of that. I've had it to where I would go with my mentor to sit with the client. He let me interact with them. I went over budgets. I went over financing. I went over hiring, firing. I went over how to close a deal, negotiating. Now, outside of that, I did take some classes. There are some really cool courses here in the Atlanta area as well. Fast Track, I really enjoyed that. That's by Tim Fulton. I'm sorry. A lot of that stuff, he was very candid. That's why I say you have to find somebody that's going to be candid, straight up, no chaser, and share all the good and bad with you, so that, you understand and you pick that stuff up really quick and you can run with it. So.
You seem like such a nice gentleman. You mean you fired someone?
Absolutely. Yes. If you don't do your job, you can't work for me. No.
But I thought kumbaya, we want everybody to be happy and just stay forever. No,
that's what I put out. I would love to, it's not even to stay forever. My job. So like with the interns that I have, and one thing that I share with them, my job is not to create a job for you. My job is to give you the skills so that you can take it wherever you want to go. Prime example, we had 3 interns last year. We have 2 this year. One, he actually has an intern with a much larger firm in the finance area, and so that's what I'm big on. So it's not to just come work for me, but if you're gonna come work for me, I need you to be there.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. We've really got to help businesses starting out and young folks coming into the marketplace understand the demands of the world of work. I think we've distorted that a bit recently, right, with some of the conveniences and some of the flexible workplace policies and things. There is still a grind one has to engage.
That's right.
In order to be successful. And that's how you become a business owner with, what do you have, 12 employees now?
Yes, 12. I
started with one.
Started with me.
And that would be the guy in the mirror only.
Yes.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
Yes.
Trash taker outer.
Accountant, janitor, all of that.
All of the above. And now we got 12 folks.
Yes.
And still growing.
Yes. We actually just got a contract award today before I walked in. So
wow.
I have to go
so
settle that.
Listen up, IT professionals. Mr. Weems is going to need some people
That's
here.
That's right.
Soon.
Yes.
So if you got some skills, you might want to check out. What's your website for Weems Design Studio?
It's very simple. It's very long. www.weems.com
So yes. Go to WeemsDesignStudio.com/careers and let Charles know what kind of skills you got so that you can be a part of the family.
That's right.
Well, listen, we're out of time. And, of course, we could go for hours fairly just a long list of stuff. So you got to commit to come back another time
I would love to
visit with Ms. Key and share some more of your expertise on the things our folks need to know about technology.
Yes, sir. I'm very happy to do it.
This has been fascinating, but again, we're going to get run out of here if we don't shut down at some point. So thank you again for being here. I'm Vic Bolton. I'm in for Stacy Key today. She'll be back next week or the week after on another edition of Let's Talk Small Business. Have a great day.